Today we are excited to continue this, to let the Holy Spirit move today how he wants to. So I want you to stay in the right mind frame today, allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And today we're not going to give a big introduction because you guys know Todd. You've seen his videos or you probably wouldn't be here today. So many of you know Todd. He's been here all weekend ministering. Help me honor him today and welcome to Destiny into the Fourth State area. Amen. Todd, come this morning. Amen.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you. Awesome. Are you ready? I should say, let's get ready to rumble. But you're not the devil, so that's who we rumble with. I just appreciate you, love you, and don't want anything from you. I just need you to have ears to hear. Okay? How many of you have never heard me? Okay, don't be scared. It's okay. I shared my testimony in the first service. I'm not going to do it again. I just know that I was severely lost, and now I'm completely found. I was severely blind, and now I completely see. Now, I know the Bible says that we see dimly, but I believe that we can look in the mirror and see who God's created us to be. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship. And if it is about religion, then pure religion is this: caring for orphans and widows and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. That's what God says pure religion is. So we can't afford to live by this thing called legalism and call it relationship, because it's not. Although we don't want to stray away from the reality of the love of God, because grace doesn't enable you to do whatever you want to do. Grace enables you to live like Jesus. Are you with me? You can't afford to come out of a religious camp and say, oh man, I'm so done with that. Wow, the Holy Spirit's real. Then all of a sudden, leave real grace and go into the weird stuff. We need to know God. We need to walk like Jesus. We need to be an imitator of God. We need to have the fruit that God says we can have. We need to have the fruit of righteousness. And the only way that happens is that you see that you're right with God. He's really excited. He loves you. He's passionately head over heels about you, and he'll never change his mind. Well, I was as twisted and as whacked as I could be, and my life was out there. Man, God loved me then. If he loved me then, how much more now would he freely give me all things? Now, I don't ask him for stuff. I just want to have him, and when I have him, I have everything. Then I find out I have everything according to life and godliness. This is really the bomb. It's amazing. I'm like a Holy Spirit bomb detonator waiting to happen everywhere I go. Because he lives inside of me, and I'm not afraid of people. I don't have a fear of man. I have a fear of God, which crushes the fear of man. I'm not afraid of people. I love you. I don't want anything from you. I love you. Period. God doesn't say, I love you. Come on, tell me back. Hurry, so I feel good about telling you. God is love. It's impossible for you to make him feel insecure. But we grow up in a world where we expect people to tell us back, because the only reason we said it is because of how they can make us feel back. That's not God. That's not our Father. And when you give your life to God, what happens? Being born again, you get refathered by love itself, and it's awesome. It's exciting. We have purpose. We have value. Man, my whole life, I never saw Christians that really, I know they were there. I'm not trying to say they weren't there. I'm just saying I never saw anybody that wasn't about their own stuff. The reason why I say that is because for 34 years of my life in addiction and anger and atheism and all that, not one person came up to me and told me about how amazing Jesus was and how much he loved me. Man, come on, he didn't just like, he paid a price to set you free from you. He didn't pay a price just to get you to heaven. If he did, you'd have prayed and disappeared, and that's not what happened. He left you here. He left you here with purpose so that you can destroy hell every day, everywhere you go, no matter where you go. But if we get it confused, if we get it mixed up, if we pray for Jesus to rescue us out of here, what we do is we use him as a crutch to get through life instead of the anchor of our soul to bring life. We can't afford to use him as a crutch to get through, because when I was an atheist, that's what I believed. People were like that Jesus was just a crutch because they couldn't handle life. They prayed for God to get them out of here. Jesus, please get me out of here. My job's bad. My people are mean. My family's a wreck. My son's this. My daughter's this. I can't handle this. God, to heaven with me and to hell with the world. That's just not the gospel. That's not what he said. God wants us to love people. He wants us to be head over heels in love with people. I'm talking like, I love you, but you don't have to tell me you love me back because I'm okay. That's God's love. God loves us, but doesn't need us to tell him back to be love. He is love. And Jesus came and he represented that. He represented what love looked like, what love acted like, what love responded like. Man, he paid a price for us to be sons and daughters. This thing's about being a son. It's about being a daughter. It's about being in love with God, so in love with God that people can't hurt you or offend you anymore. Dude, I've lived in Christianity. I've been a Christian 11 years. I've been on fire. I've been in love. God speaks. He speaks to you. He talks to you. He tells you things about people. Not so you can gossip about them. He tells you things about people because he wants you to come into their path and be their change. He wants you to represent him well. We're supposed to walk. We're supposed to be light in the midst of darkness. We're supposed to be harmless. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to walk in the midst of a perverse and corrupt generation and shine as a light. It says, let your light so shine among men and let them glorify your Father because they see your good works. It's not good works to impress God. It's good works co-laboring with God, having the Holy Spirit flow for you to crush hell around you every day. That's our Father. Come on. Some of you think I'm out of my mind. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just out of yours. Maybe I'm not out of my mind. Maybe I'm into his. Maybe I read this book daily. Maybe this book reads me daily. Maybe I asked him to shine his spotlight in my heart and take his word and cut me deep. Maybe I ask him to take his word and shine this thing bright inside of my life and help me live it every day, like Keith Green did, that song. Have you heard that? Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your grace, come on, is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, I love it. And when I'm doing well, help me to never see the crown, for my reward is bringing glory to you. See, I don't look for the mansion. My reward is giving glory to my Father. I know, wow, my mansion's going to be bigger than yours. Man, a teepee would be bigger than anything. Come on, what's it? We know there's going to be a reward there. But my reward is bringing glory to the Father here. My reward is representing Jesus in the best way I know. My reward is reading that book and seeing what my Father says about me and agreeing with it and living it out loud so that the world can see what it's like for a Christian to walk. Because that's what you are. You're a Christian, one in whom Christ dwells. When you're a Christian, it's not just coming to church and going through the motions and living like hell. It's not just Sunday and then cussing your wife out at the restaurant when you're done eating because you're mad. That's hypocrisy. That's not Christianity. That's demonic. That's strategy from hell to get people to look at your life and say, he don't got nothing. That's what I saw my whole life. But Jesus set me free. Oh man, in him there's freedom. Because whom the Son sets free is free. Are you guys okay? Kind of good, kind of, eh. All right, let's go to the word. Let me share some stuff. This is my favorite book ever. It's called the Bible. I mean, it's in this little iPad, but it's amazing. Are you ready? Oh. Gosh, there's so many different things. Let's go to 1 Peter. Let's talk about trials. Everybody likes that. You're going to have them anyway. Do you know that there's no way for you to get to hope except through trial? Do you know that there's no way to maturity in Christ except through fires? They go, I don't like fires. Well, you're going to go through them. Do you know what happens when you put somebody that's on fire in a fire? Nothing. Do you know that the trials, we've taught people that trials are from God to teach you a lesson? What if they're not from God, but they're from the devil to see if you really believe what you say you do? What if the devil is the one that comes against you with everything he has? Do you know people come to Christ and they're like, man, it just got worse. See, if you were the devil and someone came to Christ, would you attack them less or more? Okay, so that's how he thinks. See, he's thinking that what he does, if he hits you hard enough, he'll squeeze the Christ right out of you. Okay, let's start here. If I squeeze an orange into a cup, what kind of juice comes out? Yay, that's simple, right? Simple. If I squeeze an apple into a cup, what kind of juice do you get? Simple. Orange juice, orange juice, orange, apple juice, apple juice, apple. If I squeezed an orange into a cup and you watched me, let's say you went to the, what do you guys got here? I don't know, some juice store. You see that orange machine that goes through, you got the oranges that go through, you know, and the Whole Foods has an amazing juicer. So you watch it and you fill your cup up and you drank it and it was apple juice, what would you think? You'd spit it out. That's weird because that's not the kind of juice that comes out of that fruit. It should be equally as strange that when a Christian gets squeezed, everything but Jesus comes out. What if we realized, see, that's just a really good thing. Everybody gets the picture. What if the devil squeezed you and Jesus came out? That's what heaven does. See, but that's not usually the case because the devil is used to touching us and everything but Jesus comes out. What if he squeezed you and touched you and Jesus came out? He would think twice about doing it again. Oh man, come on. If the devil squeezed you and Jesus came out, if we realize what the trial was for. See, the trial isn't a trial it's a trial that the devil is trying to do to squeeze the Christ out of you. He's trying not to squeeze out and get it on him. He's thinking that the more he pounds you, the more you'll pray and say, God, why are you doing this? And then we position ourselves that we blame God for what he's done, but really it wasn't God because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we can't afford to get it wrong. Jesus came to give us life and to give it abundantly, violently excessive. That's the life he paid a price for us to have. But we get this death, loss, and destruction, and we get it confused, and we blame God for things that God never did. And all of a sudden, the Satan comes in, sneaks in like a snake, because he was cursed to crawl on his belly, sneaks in like a snake. You're not a worm. He is. He sneaks in, and he bites the body of Christ, and then he slithers away, and then God takes the rap. He's done it since the beginning of the time. Since the beginning of time, he's got God to take the blame for it. He attacks somebody, cancer, sickness, whatever it is. Why would you allow this, God? But listen, we teach that stuff so prevalently in the church. What if it wasn't God at all? What if God didn't stamp it? Attack, kill, go ahead, do it, do it, do it. We've taught people in Job. We've taught people because of Job, it's one of the most misconstrued books in the whole Bible, I believe. See, I'm a brand new Christian. I'm only 11 years old. See, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't. I actually read my Bible and believe it. I promise, not that I've not been taught by people, I have, but if I don't have a relationship with the teacher, then I will take what every teacher says as gold instead of having a relationship with the one that Jesus says I'm supposed to, because in 1 John 2:27, it says you need no man to teach you because you have the anointing that teaches you all things that are true. In other words, everything that comes out of Holy Spirit is truth. The anointing is Holy Spirit. And we have, when we give our life to Christ, we have this amazing Christ in us, the hope of glory. He comes to make his home inside. It's a mystery that's been revealed. The cat's out of the bag. No longer did God walk with man. God chose to live in man, so he sent his son, so he could have sons and daughters. And all creation is waiting for you to manifest your father. All creation is groaning. They're waiting. It doesn't sound like you think it sounds like. Sometimes people are like, hey, Jesus loves you. Shut up. Get out of my face. The truth is, they're groaning. get out of my face. Oh, bro, you're grown. You don't want to say that, but that's what they're doing. Anger and hatred and all that stuff, it's just because what they believe about God. And most times, it's because what they believe about God is twisted. Because religion has twisted them to think that way. Or hypocrites have twisted them to think that God's not real. Come on, it's the truth. So when we go through trials, we get this privilege of representing Jesus. We get to bring the bomb into an equation and transform the reality of people's life around us. You guys okay? Some of you are going through trial. How many of you are going through trial right now? If you're not, you might not be a Christian. Come on, it's a constant thing. He doesn't back off. Boom, boom. He just keeps pounding. He's hoping to catch you off guard. He's hoping to just push you into a place where you're like, I give up, forget it, whatever. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I am not a Christian anymore. Come on, if God loved me, people who say it all the time, well, if God loved me, then why does this happen? Well, if God loves me, then why is there sex trafficking? Well, if God loves us so much, then why are people raped? Well, if God loves me, why is this? Why is that? Why is this? Because we've taught people that God's in control. I'm not taking away God's sovereignty. But to say that God's sovereign and he steals, kills, and destroys is totally contradictive. All good gifts come from the Father of lights. If good things come from the Father, then why would we blame him for bad things? If this thing hits your heart, you'll have a whole well of stuff that you've blamed God for that really isn't God. It'll get out and all of a sudden you can stand and live in the love of God. People have lost people and at their funeral they say, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. God needed an angel or this or that or this. Come on. Dude, I've heard it my whole life, and I've been a Christian for 11 years. I hear people talk about it all the time. I'm on planes, and people say, well, the Lord's in control. Someone's got some kind of, like, problem. They're physically hurting. And I say, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm all right. Well, what's going on right now? You have a brace on your leg. Well, you know, it's my thorn. And I sit there, and I go, what are you talking about? See, I've researched the thorn. I've searched that thing out. See, Paul, it says that he's given a messenger of Satan to buffet him. There's all kinds of truths that you can nail and take out, but you have to be very careful about what you think that thorn is. We've been taught our whole life that thorn is sickness, that Paul asked God to take sickness away from him. Man, Paul knew the promises of God. He knew that all promises were yes, and in him, amen. He knew, bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord, all that's within me, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of my transgressions and heals all of my diseases. Paul knew the gospel. Come on. And he came and he talked about a man that was lifted up 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, seen this glory and this and that. And man, it was amazing. And then he talks about, I've been buffeted the waves. They buffeted the waves that buffet the boat. So when he's talking about a messenger of Satan to buffet him, that bird buffet means hit. That means being persecuted. See, we don't understand it, but that's the reality of it. You have Galatians where he's talking about, in Galatians 4, the last time that I was here, there was a trial in my flesh. That word trial comes from suffering. That word trial that is in there, it's because of being persecuted. It's because the day before he went into that town and preached, he was stoned and left for dead. And if you're stoning somebody and leaving them for dead, they're going to look dead. So still, he listen, this guy loved not his own life unto death. He went into that town and preached the gospel, and he said, the last time I was here, you would have plucked out your very eyes and given them to me. And Christians have tried to explain it away as some kind of eye disease. Come on, man. There's a promise in 2 Timothy 3:12, and it says, all of those that desire to live godly, you will suffer persecution. It's a promise. God will forgive. He'll fill that one too. No one wants him to fulfill being persecuted because persecution doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good at all. But blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted. And people say all kinds of mean things against you falsely for mine's sake. Great is your reward. Persecution is a promise. When Paul was told when he fell off the horse on the road to Damascus, are you following me? I know I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm in the same thing. He falls off that horse, man, on the road to Damascus. Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? Jesus. Jesus tells him he's blind. And then Paul goes to this house on Straight Street. He's there. And he has a vision of a man named Ananias coming and restoring his sight. But at the same time, Jesus told Ananias, he said, you're going to go to a house on this street. And there's a man named Saul. He's my chosen. What, Lord? No way. This dude is coming. He has a letter to put everybody in jail and to persecute and to do what he's been doing to the church. No, no, no. Go, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus prophesied about the suffering that Saul was going to have to go through. Prophesied about it. He said, he's going to suffer. He's going to suffer. This is what he's called to do. He's called to suffer. You all are called to suffer for doing good. It's commendable before the Father. It's not about suffering for doing bad. That's not commendable. If you're beaten for your own faults, that's not good. But if you're suffering for doing good, if you boldly proclaim the name of Jesus in the midst of a perverse and corrupt generation and you'd shine as lights, man, come on. So Paul, he says, he knows the word, he knows the truth. He says to God, God, you, every town that I go into, the Holy Spirit warns me. It's in Acts. That chains and imprisonment await me. Every town I go into, come on, we got to back off on this thing. I'm being beaten and bloodied and bruised and shipwrecked and hungers and fastings and nakedness and toil and amongst brethren. They're coming against me. God, just let this thing back off. Paul, chill. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made greater in your weakness. He didn't say sickness. It's very important that we understand this thing. That thorn wasn't sickness at all. People have told me, well, I'd, you know, you'll pray for me. Paul had a thorn, but I know in my heart that that's not. And I'm going after that thing, and I'm not even going to try to talk him out of it. Once it's removed, I'll explain. You have to know. You have to know this stuff. You can't afford to let religion capsize your ship. You can't afford to let that book of Job torment you and destroy you. I see people, hey, I just want to pray for you. Well, you know, people always say, well, what about Job? And that only comes from people that have been churched. Well, what about Job? Well, what about Paul? What about his thorn? What about Job? Thorn, Paul, Job. These things are common denominators in religion. You can't afford to keep that thing in you and let that thing bind you. Man, listen, you've got Job. He's a righteous and holy man. He fears God and he shuns evil. You okay if I talk about this? Come on, I'm just a new guy. 11 years old, but I love Jesus, and I get to be in a place where I can learn from him. The Bible says that all of us should learn from him. It says, all of you who are weary and burdened down and weighed down by life and crushed down by life's reality, come to me, he says, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, and I will give you rest. So we come to Jesus, and he gives us rest. But then the next scripture says, and learn from me. You come to him, but then we don't learn from him. We come to him, and then we learn from teachers. We learn from books, but we don't want to learn from him. You learn from Jesus. We can all be personally taught by Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't listen to teachers. That just means that the reality of the teacher has come to make his home and set up his home inside of me. So I know that what this is truth or this is not truth. That means that I'm very aware I've got this amazing gardener that lives inside of me that trims and prunes and cuts me back to where I need to be. But it's healthy. It's not bad. The word does it. We can have him come and groom us and teach us and shape us. And when's the last time you said, God, I'm just asking you to mold me and shape me. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Spin me. Just break off anything that needs to go. Cut off anything that needs to go. God, I want to bear much fruit. Because you're well pleased that I bear much fruit and that that fruit remains. Because in the fruit is the seed. And the more fruit you produce, the more seeds that are gone. And the more trees of righteousness there are. It's awesome. Gosh, I hope this is making any sense at all. So you got Job. You know, people say, well, Satan asked for Job. That's not how it worked at all. He didn't say, let me have Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? None like him on the planet. He's awesome, and you're not. That's what he said. He didn't come up there and say, let me have Job. Come on, just let me have him. Let me have him. Let me have him. No, God said, have you considered Job? none like him on the planet. Blameless and upright, one that fears me and shuns you. You know what he said? Does Job fear you for nothing? The only reason he fears you is because of what you do for him and how you bless him. He doesn't really love you. He's selfish just like me. All he wants is your stuff. Come on, do you think that Satan's not believing the same thing about you? He knows that when he touches your stuff, oh man. I hope this relates, man, because it's a big deal. Satan just knows that when he touches your stuff, he'll get you to blame God. He's still up to the same thing. How do we overcome the enemy, guys? The blood of the Lamb, and there's more. The word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they love not their own life unto death. That's a kicker. Lots of people talk about the first two, but that back end is cut off. I promise, because it's called denying yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Come on, that's a big deal. It's the gospel. So Satan said, does he love you for nothing? Come on, he doesn't love you. Touch what he has. God says, all that he has is in your power. My question is this. In the fall of man, Satan became the god of this world, the prince and power of the air. Okay, so that authority wasn't taken away from him. He still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There'll be a day when it never happens. But right now, we are in a day where he still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you need to know the one that's coming. My sheep will hear and obey my voice, and a stranger's they will not follow. Does that mean a stranger doesn't speak, or does that mean he does speak? You just need to know which one it is. He doesn't want you to be confused. He wants you, Jesus wants you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He wants you to know his voice so that the stranger's voice sounds funny. He wants truth to set his home up so strong in your soul that every other voice aside from that gets drowned out, because the voice of truth. Come on. Have you ever heard that song? And the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth is calling out to me. The voice of truth says this is for my glory. Come on. We need to know the shepherd's voice. We can't afford to listen to the strangers. Man, I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit sets up home here and you start to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and you start to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know that you are a walking proof of God's will. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of this thing. All of a sudden, the way that you used to think, the way that seems right to a man, that demonic thinking, that strategy from hell, the one that came into Peter's mind. When Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say this and some say that. A lot of people are saying a lot of things, actually, Lord. Yeah, but who do you say I am? Peter's like, you're the Christ. Son of God, blessed are you, Simon. You didn't come up with that one yourself. That's what he said. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You know that our war is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father did. Awesome job, Simon. Whoa. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what he said. And a couple of scriptures later, you know Simon's like, yeah, I got it right. Couple of scriptures later, Jesus says, by the way, I'm going to die soon. This shall never happen to you. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's not cool at all, to be called the devil by Jesus. But I want to bring why he did that. He said, for you are mindful of the things of man, and your mind is not full of the things of God. So to say you're only human is to say you're only demonic. There is a way that seems right to a man, and it is destroying us, man. We perish for lack of knowledge, and having received that knowledge, we reject it because it can't be that simple. Well, I've got news for you. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I fear that just as Satan deceived Eve by his craftiness, his slick talking, his smooth maneuvering, so your minds might be corrupted and taken away from the simplicity that's in the Christ. So yes, it is that easy. Yes, it is that simple. Jesus is the simplicity of the gospel. Yet in him is all wisdom. And it's all about the name of Jesus. It's all about being free. Because whom the Son sets free is free. There's no way that I could come up with this because I'm not quick enough. But he's good. So Satan says, does Job fear you for nothing? The only reason he fears you is because of what you blessed him. Take what he has away. God says, all that he has is in your power. He didn't say, okay, go ahead. I take my hands off of him. Hit him. He said, Satan, all that he has is in your power. In other words, you're the God of this world. You don't need my permission. Yet we say that. He needs God's permission. See, if God allowed it, he could have stopped it, so he's still to blame. Oh, this is a big deal, man, especially if you've been churched your whole life. I promise. Well, God allowed it. You know, he's sovereign. We say all kinds of things about a father that only gives us good things. He doesn't have death, loss, and disease. If he's the one that brought disease and sickness, and he's the one that put that upon his people, then Jesus would have been in direct conflict, and he would have been going against his father. If sickness was from God at all and Jesus healed it, he'd be going against God's will. And Jesus only came to do the will of God. And everyone that came to him was healed every time, minus none, period. We have all kinds of reasons. Well, you know, they did this and they did that and they did this. Man, come on. Which is bigger? Their sin and their twistedness or God's love for them? And why would I need to get them to agree with me? Why wouldn't I just pray so that God's goodness could hit their heart and bring them to repentance? Man, come on, man. Let's shake the chains off of God, because the word of God's not chained and he isn't either. He wants us to be free. Yay. You all right? Some of you are looking at me like, I'm just in love with Jesus, man. And I will boldly proclaim the gospel. So Satan comes and attacks. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, like, people come in, I saw the camels, and I saw, oh my gosh, and this happened, and then, man, I saw the fire of God fall. Was it God's fire? Did God send fire to destroy? No. Was it the devil? Yes. Was the opinion of the Christian? It was God. Come on, man. The whole book of Job, all of his friends, come on, you must have done something, man. Admit it, dude. There has to be some kind of sin, some kind of twistedness in your life. All of his friends. God brought him up. He said, why? Oh, man, I love this. Then again, boom, 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 boom. Attack again. Then his kids. His kids get killed. But that time, Satan came up before God. Right before it happened, and he said, hey. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Guaranteed. He had, because it was an onslaught attack. Have you considered Job? There's none like him. Even though you incited me against him, he still won't curse me. Skin for skin, Satan says. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Which means people don't love you. They won't lay down their life. They didn't give everything up. Come on. This. His whole job is to get you to hold on to you. He wants you to live in the way that seems right to a man, which is the wisdom of this world, which is sensual and demonic, full of self-seeking and envy, and every evil thing is in that place, and that's how Satan wants you to live your life. And I hope this is making sense. I promise you. God is not the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan doesn't need permission to attack. He just does. But you need to know who's attacking you. And you need to know who's bringing the trial. You need to know who's putting the fire underneath of you. You need to be on fire when you go through fire so that you can represent. Sickness is from hell. It's not from God. That thing needs to go. That's why we pray for the sick. That's why we see miracles. That's why we see healing. Every day of my life, I see it. Every day. There's not a day that goes by where I don't see it. It happens. Every day. Because God speaks, and he's really happy, and he loves us, and he wants us to overwhelm people around us. Are you guys all right? Okay, good. I got time. Can I tell you a couple testimonies and share some truth with you? Can I share some trials and some fires? Come on. Am I making sense? Okay, let me read. I told you to go to 1 Peter. I'm just going to read it real quick. We're going to talk about it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. First, let me just verify something with you. And let me just talk about this thing. This is the guy that was told by Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." I need you to understand this. Peter couldn't think like a son because before Christ was crucified, he was an orphan. So orphans think a certain way because they don't know their father. Jesus says, "Don't fear. I won't leave you as an orphan. If I don't go, he won't come. But when he comes." So Jesus paid a price to establish us as sons and daughters so that we could have a relationship with the King of Glory. So Peter right here is speaking as a son, not as an orphan. Lots of people tell me, "I can relate to Peter." Well, my question is, which one? Which Peter do you relate to? Do you relate to Peter as an orphan or Peter as a son? Because they're two totally different people. This is Peter, the one that denied Jesus when push came to shove. Because Peter, in his own strength, thought that he wouldn't, but he did, because you can never make it in your strength. Because in your weakness, he is made strong. Because his grace is sufficient for you. Because his strength is made greater in your weakness. And if you would rely on the strength of God and Christ in you and the reality of who he's called you to be, as a son, not as an orphan, you need to get that orphan thinking out of you and realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "No one comes to the Father except by me." So having an encounter with a good, good Father, the Father of lights, and by the way, it's not the Father of the moon, the stars, and you are the light of the world. He's the Father of lights. It's really powerful. So exciting. That's why it says, "Let your light so shine." Shine in the midst, in Philippians 2. Shine in the midst of a perverse, corrupt generation. Shine. Let your light so shine. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." Then he says, "You're the light of the world. You are salt, the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill, a light that lights up his own house." So we're talking about Peter, who's had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. This is that Peter. This is a different man when it comes to trial. He says, "To the pilgrims of Dispersia and Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace." Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Like, grace is amazing. Grace is the reality of what God gives you in order to walk out what truth calls you to. Grace is not just unmerited favor. It is actually the fuel that fills your engine that enables your life to run well. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And that same grace and that same truth is in this word. And God wants this very grace and this very truth to come and fill our hearts so that we can think like Jesus. Not that we claim glory, because Jesus didn't even claim glory to himself. We give glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ that's in you is the hope of glory, but Christ coming out of you is that glory being made manifest. You are an ambassador of hope in the midst of corrupt generation, man. You shine as lights, and you are an ambassador of hope itself. You get to bring hope to a lost and dying world because of Christ in you, the hope of glory, regardless of your situations. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us again a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We say that that's the last day, but there's a difference between the final day and the last time. We entered into the last time when Jesus was crucified and resurrected. We are in the last time. We're in our final lap. The last day will be the day, the final day, but we are in the last time. I love it. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Peter was told by Jesus when he said, you're the Christ. This is just a glimpse and a whisper from the Father that said, you're the Christ. Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father did. And upon this rock, what is the rock? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Looky here. Your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that when you're going through fire and you fix your eyes and behold the Lamb, the reality of the revelation of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, Satan wishes that he never touched you. Because when you come out of it, you come out of it with a crisper, sharper, clearer awareness of his presence, of his goodness, and of his glory. And all of a sudden, you get to proclaim the truth of the trial that you were in and the reality of the God that brought you through it. And Satan wishes that he never touched you, because what he's done is helped you to purify your faith. Come on, man. Ah, it's good. Then it says this. Whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. He's talking about trials. He's talking about like rejoicing with joy inexpressible. Man, I don't see Christians going through trials rejoicing. I'm in a trial. Yay. Come on. I can tell you this, that if you thank God when you're in the midst of it, not for him giving it to you, because he didn't give it to you, but who he is in the midst of that, you'll come out sharper, clearer, more aware, and destroy hell every day. And when people watch you go through that trial, you'll see them step into their calling and realize, wait a minute, I can be a Christian too. I love it. Man, they have fun in there. We should have that much fun in here. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, we've talked about that, and it seems like people think that that's beam me up, Scotty. That the salvation of your souls is beam me up. I'd like to tell you that he's not talking about your soul getting out of here. He's talking about your mind, will, and emotions being saved now. Ah, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not just to themselves, not to themselves, but to us that were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh man, that's so solid. Prophets prophesied about this day that was coming where righteousness apart from the law was going to be given to us. Blessed are those whose sins and lawless deeds the Lord remembers no more. In other words, blessed are those that don't have to walk out 613 laws and 10 commandments in order to be right with God, but blessed are those that receive what it is, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that actually believe that there's only two commandments, but all the law and the prophets hang on these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, because I have those two, don't mean that I want to go steal. Doesn't mean that I want to go curse and do this and hurt people. No, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your strength, and then God says your mind again. I love it. I love he says it twice, two different ways. It's awesome. See, when I love God with all of this, with all of this, and with all of this, my hand doesn't tell me that it wants to sin without this telling it first. And when this is told that it's a son first, all of a sudden, I don't want to do this because I got this. Oh, it's just totally awesome. So let me share. So I was out in L.A. I was just talking to my buddy from L.A. I was out in L.A. just a little bit ago. And I'm on the highway, and I see these motorcycle guys going up in between. And it's crazy. The last couple weeks ago, they told me that it's legal. I didn't know it was. I thought it wasn't. Because everybody else has stopped, and these motorcycles gone. And I'm like, it's legal. Why doesn't everybody have motorcycles? But anyway, I don't know. But I'm on the major highway out there. You think you have traffic here? It's different in LA. It's just different. So I said, man, I said, look at that. I said, this is dangerous. And right after I said that, probably 30 seconds later, motorcycle goes, boom, someone hits him. Guys, on the highway. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm out of my car. I run. I'm like, dude, I got to go because I need to be there because I carry the gospel. I'm a carrier. I'm not afraid. I'm a carrier of the gospel. I need to get up there. I go up there on the road. This guy's laid out, sprawled on the road. He's blood everywhere. I mean, he's a big biker. I mean, a big guy. Tattoos everywhere. I'm not afraid of that. This guy's hurting, man. There's a businessman. He's standing there. Hold on. Just hold on. He's trying to stop traffic from running this guy over. Nobody else cares. Everybody's in a hurry to get nowhere. I guarantee you there's a Christian in one of those cars somewhere. And that being said, it doesn't matter to me. I am a Christian, and I'm going to walk this thing out. So I get up there, and I said, hey, man. He's, what? He's screaming at me. I said, dude. I get down there. I said, do you know Jesus? Rah, he just cusses me out. I said, answer me, man. Do you know Jesus? He's bleeding. I don't know how severe this thing is, but I know that he needs to know Jesus, man. Doesn't matter. He said, yeah, I do. Blankety, blankety, blank, 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 Jesus. He's in pain. I look down, his ankles twisted the whole way backwards. I'm talking his knees forward and his ankles like this. And it's just dangling there. And he's bleeding. I got his hand. I said, man. I said, I'm going to pray for you, man. I don't need prayer. I said, yes, you do. And I sat there and I laid my hands on him. And I said, Father, I thank you in the name of, I wish I could tell you his ankle twisted around. I wanted it to. Man, that would have been awesome. But I just sat there and loved him. And he goes, why are you here? I said, because I love you, man. That's why. The businessman's like, oh my God, he's going to get killed. What's going on? The cop comes up, LAPD. He says, who the blank are you? I said, I'm a friend, man. He said, were you involved in this? I said, no. He said, now get the blank out of here. I said, absolutely not. Do you know Jesus? I'm not kidding. I promise you, man. Do you know Jesus, yes or no? What? I said, man, I know the routine. I'm not going to move him. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to hold his hand. I'm going to pray for him, man. I said, do you know Jesus? I said, man, I was a drug addict and an atheist for 22 years, man. I hated cops. Now I love you. He looks at me and he goes, what the? He walks away. He goes, oh. He don't blank and move. He's yelling at this guy. The guy's looking at me. The biker on the ground, he's in pain. I said, man, I got you, bro. I got you. I got you, man. He said, man, thank you. Why are you doing this? Because I love you. Why? Because. Do you know the Father? What? I said, are you a father? He goes, how can I be a father? Look at my leg. I said, what does your leg have to do with your heart, man? I'm in these situations all the time. Why? Because I'm free from me. Because I live the gospel every day of my life. What a privilege it would be for you to be able to represent Jesus. The guy looks at me, he's holding my hand, he goes, man, I appreciate you, man. I said, I love you, bro. I know, man, I know. I see it in your eyes. Because the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if the eye isn't single and it's dark, how great is that darkness? You can't afford to think darkness. You have to think with the mind of Christ, the one that he has given you. That's scriptural too. You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You don't be conformed to the world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove the will of God everywhere you go, so that you can destroy hell for a living and stop thinking like hell. You can't afford to think like the devil, because to say that you think or your opinion, like Peter said, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. So for you to say that you're only human is for you to say that you're only demonic. It's the truth that you can't afford to think that way, because God's given you the privilege to not give people a piece of your mind, but to give people the reality of his. So that EMTs and stuff come and ambulance is there. Right then I have to back out because they're coming. I've got my hand here. Just hold them in place. I said, all right, man. I said, dude, I got to go. He goes, don't leave me. I said, bro, I got to go. Who are you? I said, I'm just a Christian, man. Bless you, bro. Bless you, man. God loves you. He goes, I know he does, man. I see it in your eyes. What's that worth, man? What's it worth to live selfless? What's it worth? What's it worth for you to be on fire? What's it worth for you to glorify God in every experience and everything you go, do, and say? What's it worth for you to burn with Jesus? It's not worth it to live for the opinions of people when people are dying every day. This isn't pressure. This is pleasure. This isn't a guilt trip. This is the gospel. It's the good news. I'm not condemning you. Condemnation is from hell. Get that thing up out of you. Condemnation, guilt, shame, it's all from hell. I'm talking about conviction. Conviction is good. Let God convict your heart. Change is necessary. So I walk away. The cops stand there talking to that business guy because he was there first. I said, hey, man. He goes, what? I said, dude, I don't think you understood. I said, do you know Jesus? He goes, why are you telling? Why? I said, man, because I was the guy in the back of your cop car. I was the guy in the back of so many cop cars. I was the guy. I was the one that was in the back of the car. Not one of you told me about Jesus, man. And I got shot at 11 years ago. I've been extradited across America twice, kicked out of the Marine Corps, in and out of prison my whole life. And not one of you told me about Jesus. And I've been in so many cop cars, it's not funny. I've been taken across in bounty hunters in orange jumpsuits twice across America, in and out of prison my whole life. And not one person told me about Jesus. You need to know that there's hope for the guy in your back seat because I'm standing here looking at you, sir. He looks at me. He says, well, I'm glad you found what works for you. I said, you're wrong, man. It's not what works for me. See, that would be the way that seems right to a man. God loves you so much, man. I need to give you a hug right now. No, I don't give hugs. I said, well, you're going to have to shoot me. I love you, man. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry that I snapped at you. It's just you don't have to apologize. I know what you see, and it's horrible. But you can't afford to let your heart get hard and not see that there's hope, and his name is Jesus, man. He goes, thank you. And he walks away, and the businessman looks at me, and he says, I just want to thank you. I said, why? He said, because I'm a Christian. He said, I had nothing to give these people today. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I said, man, this is normal Christianity. He goes, I realize what's happening. I saw it all. You changed my life today. Thank you. I said, man, I said, it's awesome because you know that I just need you to know what an impact this has made on my heart. He goes, I will never be the same. Thank you. I've got to get to work. Thank you. And he walks away crying, gets in his car. I just stood there in the midst of all this. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you for who you've created me to be. Thank you that I'm your son. Thank you that you've allowed me to see your heart, your eyes, your face. I'm asking you, God, to raise up Christians everywhere, that this would be a normal occurrence and that we would live a life that glorifies you in everything we do and everything we say. Put your hands on your heart, please. That's just one of thousands of testimonies just like it. Because I live Jesus full on. People say, well, this is just for the evangelist. You're wrong. It's for every believer. My question is, who do you believe? And who have you put your faith in? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Or have you put your hope in man? Because man will let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Jesus paid a price. The prophets prophesied about this day that would come. They saw it, and they were glad because they saw it. Now we have it, but if you don't see what you have and understand who you are and whose you are, you'll be sad and you'll be bummed out and you'll wait for your big day. Your big day was 2,000 years ago when Christ died for you and was resurrected for you. The day that you said yes to Jesus. If there's anybody in this house that has not said yes to Jesus but would like a relationship with him, I need you to stand up right now, please. Please stand up if that's you. Awesome. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I just want you to stand to your feet. Please don't wait for this. I promise you he will change your life. I'm not pressuring you. I'm telling you that the gospel is good news. If you've grown up in church but you've never given yourself to Jesus, I want you to stand up. I promise Jesus will change your life radically. Awesome. 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 If you grew up in church and you slid away and it's time to slide home, stand up. It's okay. It's good. I promise you, God will make old things pass away and he will make all things become new. He's radically good at it. It's actually what he does best. You're looking at it right now. You might not grow dreads, but Jesus changed my life completely, and he wants to change yours. Is there anybody else that would say, I need this Jesus? Okay. I want everybody to pray with me. Jesus, thank you. So I saw you standing over there first off. You. When I came over this morning, and I saw that you've been through all kinds of stuff in your life, and I see you as an artist, and I don't know what kind of work you do, but I see you as a writer and draw, and you just do all kinds of stuff. But I see you as a writer, and I saw you writing books, and I just saw you going after this thing. But the stuff that you've written is about sadness, but God's going to shift that thing to complete amazing gladness, and he's going to enable you to write the reality of life, and God is going to change everything about your whole life, I promise you. And all that stuff and all that tragedy that you've been through, Jesus is a professional wiper-outer of all that junk. He loves you and he knows your name. And he cares about you so deeply. And it's really, really amazing that I got to share that with you today. Bless you. Yay. Okay. Just pray with me right now. Lord God, we say yes to you. Today is a new day. Today is a day the Lord has made. We're asking you to forgive us of all of our sin, of all of our junk, to remove our guilt and shame. Today, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're asking you, God, to come and make your home inside of us so that you can flow through us and change the world around us everywhere that we go, so that we can live from victory and not towards it, so that we can live from heaven and not a rescue mission to get us out of here. Jesus, we say yes to you. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's what's next. If you stood and you don't have a church, I promise you, don't be afraid because of how you grew up. Go to church. Find a home. Find somewhere where you can plug in. Don't go there and find fault. Just become love and plug in. He loves you so much, okay? If you've got sickness or disease in your body, in this whole house, I need you to stand to your feet, please. Come on. How you feeling? You got any change in your legs? All right. Put your hand on somebody beside you. If you're not standing and you're sitting and you have problems, I need you to stand. No headaches. Everything's good. No migraine headaches. Anything like that. That is included in the sickness category. Okay. Asthma is included in the sickness category. Bad knees are included. It's not just wear and tear. I'm getting older. Watch what God does. He's amazing. If you've got bad discs or sciatic nerve damage, you're in this equation right now. Okay, great. That's pretty much everybody. Come on. Put your hand on somebody beside you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command all sickness, all disease right now, in Jesus' name, get out. Father, I thank you from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet right now, in Jesus' name. Let's start with the bottom of the feet first. God, I thank you for any kind of problems in the feet, no matter what it is. Neuropathy, plantar fasciitis, no matter what it is, in the name of Jesus, we command it to be healed right now. Feet be made whole right now in Jesus' name. People struggle with healing. When you get healed, you won't struggle. God, I thank you for brand new ankles. I thank you for metal in ankles that you would make it disappear in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for brand new ankles all over this house right now in Jesus' name. Brand new. I thank you for knees being completely made whole. Brand new cartilage, brand new connective tissue, brand new ACL, brand new MCLs. I thank you for complete healing and wholeness right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Brand new hips right now. In Jesus' name. Brand new. Father, we thank you for wholeness and healing complete. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. Healing. Jesus' name, brand new hips, brand new discs. God, I thank you that her tumors would be removed off of her spine right now. I thank you for brand new discs, herniated discs, bulging discs right now. Be healed all the way from the neck to the bottom in Jesus' name. Be made whole. Father, thank you for brand new discs in Jesus' name right now. God, thank you. In the name of Jesus, sciatic nerve, be loosed. Numbness, go. Neuropathy, go. Every bit in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for brand new organs, brand new kidneys, brand new pancreases. Jesus' name, brand new livers. Hepatitis C, get out in Jesus' name. Right now. Father, I thank you for complete healing and complete wholeness. God, thank you for brand new hearts, brand new lungs, asthma, heart conditions. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Thank you for brand new shoulders, rotator cuffs, in the name of Jesus, God. Brand new. Every bit of nerve damage in the hand, be healed right now. Carpal tunnel, be healed in Jesus' name. Every joint in the body, every bit of arthritis, be removed right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus right now. Brand new. I thank you, Father, for ears being open right now. In Jesus' name. Eyes being opened in Jesus' name. Every headache, every allergy, everything. God, I thank you from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. Right now, we thank you for complete wholeness and healing. In Jesus' name. Every disease there in between, cancer, whatever disease it is, we command it out right now. God, thank you for blood disorders being completely healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to pause for 1 minute, and I want everybody to check their body right now of anything at all that you can check. Check for the pain, see if it's gone. Whatever joints, your neck, check it. If your neck's loose, if your traps are loose, whatever, your shoulders, your knees, whatever it was. If it's gone, I want you to wave your hands in the air right now. Wave your hands like this. In Jesus' name, I command addiction in every form. Right now, go. Every bit. Right now. In Jesus' name. Brand new, God, I thank you for wholeness, complete healing. In Jesus' name. Thank you. every bit of sickness from head to toe right now. We thank you, Father, for complete wholeness and complete healing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, give God praise. Amen. Before you leave today, so I want you to do, I want you to prepare. We're going to give Todd and his ministry and a love offering. He hasn't asked for anything to come here this morning. He didn't ask for a certain amount to come. But we want to bless him with a love offering for his ministry and for his family. And so I want you just close your eyes a second. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. What would you have us give today to this ministry? This is a great seed. This is a great time, Lord. A great seed to plant our seed into, Father. Give. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. We're quick to obey that number right now. So, Father, right now, we say yes today. That's what I want you to do. Our ushers are going to come through. They're going to pass the bus buckets as we close out with this last song. Everything, 100% of what you give in this bucket will go to Todd and his ministry and to his family. And so we're going to pass those as we close in this song. Can we do that? Come on.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
today. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done in our midst today, God. Lord, it's all awesome and it's amazing, God. And Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we magnify you even more. God, we pray that right now, God, it's just the beginning, God, but not the ending, God. And that we will take, God, what you started here into our homes, into our jobs, into our schools, and let you spark a revolution of the Holy Spirit in our world, God, in our communities, God, and in this nation. Lord, we love you, God. We bless you, and we dismiss under your holy reverence and in your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all enjoy your Sunday. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Let's give it up for God this morning. Come on. Hallelujah.